There was a greedy man who loved money more than anything else in his life. He hoarded money all his life, and he was not generous to anybody. He was so greedy that just before he died, he got his wife to swear before God that when he dies, she will put all of his money in the casket with him. Well, he died, and at his funeral, just before closing the casket, the wife did exactly what she promised to do, and she put a shoebox inside the casket before it was closed. Her best friend, who knew the whole story, said to her, "I hope you weren't crazy enough to put all that money in the casket." The wife said, "Well, of course I did. I had to. I swore before God that I would do that." Her friend said, "You mean to tell me that you put every cent of his money in the casket with him?" "I sure did. I got all of his cash together, put it into my checking account, and wrote him a check." In the passage for today, Jesus talks about greed. Luke 12. And as usual, Jesus says things in a way that is unexpected, unconventional. And I'd like to talk about what he says with you today. Luke 12, take the pew Bibles in front of you and go to Luke 12, starting with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Rich toward God is the title of the sermon today. So according to this passage, if you store up things for yourself, what happens? Verse 20, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. It sounds like if you save up for yourself, you're going to die that night. If you become greedy, that day that you become greedy, you're going to die. That's what it sounds like, huh? Well, is that how it is in reality? No, not at all. Actually, greedy people seem to prosper better and live longer many times. My mom used to tell me about her father, who made quite a bit of money starting a glass bottle-making company in Japan in the 1930s. He did it for just a few years, but he was so successful that he made enough money to buy a little town. And so how did he become so poor then? His older brother, had a proposition to buy a lot of land in Manchuria, China. And so my grandfather sold the business, gave him all the money to buy this large piece of land, like a couple of thousand acres of land. Well, when China became communist, the government took all the land. And incidentally, what's interesting is that the older brother of my grandfather was a very poor manager of money, and he was poor. He did not have money all his life, but all of a sudden, after he received money from my grandfather, he lived wealthy. And the speculation from all the relatives was that he did not use all the money to buy land. And while my grandfather became penniless, his older brother lived wealthy for the rest of his life. My grandfather died when he was 49. His older brother died when he was 82. So the greedy people prosper and live long. They don't get punished. But it is true, no matter how long anyone lives, greedy or not, life is short, and no one can take their possessions with them when they die. Actually, I'm not interested in talking about the punishment of the wicked, but I do want to explore what it means to be rich toward God. What does that mean? Rich toward God. Well, the simple answer may be, stop being greedy. Then you will be rich toward God. But how do you know if you're greedy? Raise your hand if you are a greedy person. Okay, we have a couple of honest people, and the rest are liars. How do you know when you are in the middle of greed? How do you know if you have crossed that line? How do you know if you have lived a life of greed? I'm hoping that as we explore this passage, we will have some answers from the words of Jesus. He says a lot of interesting things here. And the first thing is the guy who goes to Jesus and asks for help to settle a family feud. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So according to Judaic inheritance practices, the oldest brother receives 2/3 of the inheritance, while the younger brothers share the 1/3. So if you are the eldest son, you hit the jackpot, or if your father is rich. So this guy must have been the younger brother, and he goes to Jesus, and perhaps he had listened to Jesus' teachings where Jesus speaks against the inequalities of that culture, and perhaps he thought Jesus would be willing to help him in this inequality. And so he says, Lord, do what you do best. Find justice in my situation by telling my brother to divide the inheritance equally. Jesus surprises him. He surprises us. I don't think I would have been surprised if the story said that Jesus went to the older brother and, I don't know, rode on the ground, and all of a sudden the older brother decided to divide the inheritance equally and God was glorified. That would have been a great story, right? But what does Jesus say? Instead, Jesus says, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? In other words, dude, that's none of my business. That is not my concern. Wow. Is Jesus really that cold and calloused toward the concerns of our lives? Jesus is not distant from our problems, is he? He cares about our concerns. He wants to help us find justice from the older brothers of our lives, doesn't he? So why this? Man, that is not my problem. Solve it yourself. At other times, it seems like Jesus was quick to help others. But this time, he refuses. Is it because Jesus saw the greedy heart of this younger brother and did not want to enable his evilness? Perhaps. Especially because this is when he turns to the disciples, his disciples, and says to them, watch out, be on your guard for what? All kinds of greed. Is there more than one kind of greed? Yeah, name some. It's not just for money. All right. What are the other kinds of greed that you can think of? Greed for power, greed for control, greed for recognition, greed for prestige, for fame. There's all kinds of greed, apparently. Somebody said greed for doing good during the staff meeting on Tuesday. Really? Can you be greedy about good things? Can you be about greedy for knowledge? So I think anything in life can be adulterated to become evil. And I think humans are very susceptible to becoming greedy in any kind of aspect. What happens when we become greedy? Well, Jesus tells a story to answer that. And he tells this story of the rich man who built bigger barns because his crop was so plentiful. Is it greedy to store up things for ourselves? How many of you have a retirement plan that you're saving up for? Greedy, 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 greedy. You know, one of my dreams is to become financially independent so I can quit my job and live like, what does it say? Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Actually, I have a better way of saying it. I want to become financially independent so that I can be a volunteer pastor and not get paid for the good things that I do. How does that sound? I think a lot of you have that same dream of becoming financial. And in order to do that, I'm kind of serious about this. And I'm saving up a little more than the average. And so you may turn to me and say, greedy. Am I greedy for doing that? You know, I knew somebody who really took this parable literally. And when he retired, he did not have a penny saved up. So he could not take care of himself and his wife during retirement. And he would always say, God will provide. And I admired his faith, but it was really annoying because every time he saw me, he asked for money because he was broke. And I'm wondering, is that really faith? Is that what Jesus is talking about here when he says, do not store up for yourselves? And if you do, your life will be demanded from you that night. Certainly, Jesus is not telling us to never save up. How about Joseph in Egypt with all the pyramids where he stored I think those pyramids were much bigger than this farmer's barns. And yet we call Joseph wise and prudent, and this farmer greedy and wicked. This is not talking about storing up, is it? It's talking about something else. So what was the wickedness of this guy? Whatever that answer is, that is also the answer to what it means to be rich toward God. There is a theory that says there's only a limited amount of resources in life. And if a small percentage of people take a big portion of those resources, then the rest of the people will have to share the measly amount. In other words, if there's 500 people here today and there are 500 pieces of bread for lunch, rather than each person taking one slice, the five people up front take 99%, which is 495 slices, And the rest of the 495 of you have to share 5 slices among yourselves. So there's a theory that says this. So the rich are wicked because they are taking away things from the poor. For them to get wealthier doesn't mean that they are creating their wealth on their own. They're actually taking what is limited. Now, I don't know if I completely agree with this. I think certainly there you do see this kind of thing happening where the rich take from the poor. But I'm not sure that is the point that Jesus is making here. I think the main idea is something different, because I've seen plenty of rich people who are not greedy. And those in our midst here today who have been blessed with more resources than others have exemplified that by the way you give. And I've seen plenty of poor people who are greedy. They don't have any money, but they're so greedy. So this is not wealth. This is not about storing up. This is talking about something else, and what is that? And that is the main point of today. Greed is not so much about being wealthy as it is about one's attitude. Greed is to live life without the consideration of others. It is a form of narcissism that will only think about self. On top of that, greed, when it is in its full force, will cause one to step on others, harming them in order to get what they want. Greed is that evil, that terrible. So the greed of the man in today's parable is not that he built bigger barns, but that he did not consider to think about other people in his wealth. He might have said, "Wow, I am so blessed with excellent harvest this year, and I know that my workers, some of them have been struggling. I'm wondering if I can give them more wages from the surplus of this year's harvest. I wonder if there are those in our midst. I wonder if there are relatives and friends of mine that are struggling this year. Perhaps their land did not produce as much crop. Perhaps I can share." If his mind was in that mode, Jesus would have said something totally different, even if he had built bigger barns. The wickedness of this farmer was that his wealth was more important to him than what was and what still is of the utmost importance to God: his children, the people of the world. The heart of Jesus' teachings was justice, mercy, and faithfulness. All three of these have to do with the attitude and the disposition toward others. I believe Jesus' main objective in his teachings was to help people from looking inward to facing outward. Greed is self-centeredness. It disables us from looking out. Take the bulletin for today and go to the front page and tell me what you see. Right here. Have you wondered what that round thing is all about all these years? Well, today you get an explanation. What do you see there? What does it look like? It looks like a group of people holding hands. And what are they facing? They're facing out. It is a community of people facing it. Originally, you know, we were looking for a logo to represent the vision of this church, and we came across one that looked like this, except it was like a huddle, like a football team. And we thought, yeah, we are trying to form a close-knit community at Vallejo where we are huddled together, joining forces to journey through this life together. Wonderful. But we thought something is missing. We almost chose that one. So, but does this really represent what we're trying to do? And we realized it's not. Because the team mentality, the football team mentality says, we're going to beat you. It says, this is a closed group. We love each other, but we don't know if we love you. We are going to look to serve ourselves. And we said, you know, and we could not find a logo existing in the internet. So we had somebody design this, similar to what we had before. And this really means a lot to me. Because this signifies what God is calling us to do and to be. To no longer look inward, to think about our own needs, but to, even as we are together as a church family, holding hands, we are looking out to see the needs of other people. Last week, the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Did you know there was a Wednesday night prayer meeting? There wasn't until about 3 weeks ago. And spontaneously, we just decided, hey, let's get together and pray. So we've met only 3 times, and we're not having one this coming Wednesday, but the one after that, you can come to. And we've just been getting together and talking about prayer and just praying together. And a couple of weeks ago, we did a prayer walk. And we walked around the block here, around the church campus. And my original intent was to really pray for God's protection and his blessing on this holy ground. That the people that enter it will become empowered by the Holy Spirit, that their lives will know Christ better. So we intended to walk around praying for this campus, but then all of a sudden, we realized there is something wrong here. Because every time we get together, we're praying for ourselves. And so we decided to pray for the buildings surrounding our church and all the people involved. We walked, 6 of us. We walked and we prayed for the hospital, the outpatient clinic. We prayed for the parking lot where people park their cars. We prayed for the houses. We prayed for In-N-Out. We prayed for... You know, that's a tough thing to do for vegetarians, but we did. We pray for the homes on Holly Drive. I think that's the meaning of life. And I think that's what it means to be rich toward God. To no longer be greedy by looking inward. But look up, look out. Notice the people around you. And see if there is something you can do with the plenty of harvest that God has blessed you with this year. Amen.